You're listening to the Theater Talk Podcast. Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Theater Talk. Today, I talked to Mary Beth Donahoe. You may know her as she is a part of the Mean Girls National Tour. In today's episode, I talked to her about her journey, Mean Girls, and at the end, we play a fun game of Finish the Mean Girls Lyric. So, feel free to play along, and let's get right into it. Hi!
Hello! Hi! How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. You're Alina?
Yes.
It's so nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too. Welcome to my podcast. I'm super excited to have you on.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, if you're ready, we could just get right into it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Can you tell the listeners just a bit about yourself?
Yeah. I'm Mary Beth Donahoe. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and went to school at Ohio Northern University for musical theater, which is a very small liberal arts school in Ohio. And then after graduation, moved to New York and started auditioning there. I had done a little bit of regional theater work in the summers during college, and then did a bit of that as well after I graduated. I did the Beauty and the Beast National Tour back in 2015, 2016, and then was just on the Mean Girls National Tour that was out this past year, and hopefully we'll be returning at the end of the pandemic. So. Yeah, mostly musical theater actor. It's what I love. So, yeah, so I'm here.
Amazing. Yeah, so how did you actually get started in performing?
Originally, when I was in second grade, I signed up for the soccer class for 6 weeks. And my mom was pretty ashamed of how bad of a soccer player I was. And she said, you know, this isn't quite for you. But let's try another activity. So I said, you know, maybe let's try tap dance. And I did, and I loved it. And it's my favorite style of dance to this day. I started taking classes just through like our rec department in Lakewood, Ohio, is the suburb of Cleveland where I grew up. And so I did classes through there, and I joined organizations at my school and was in choir there and in all of the drama club productions and things like that. So. That's kind of when I fell in love with it and did as many different aspects of theater as I could, whether it was singing or dancing or acting, or whether it was working backstage, or whether it was, you know, heading up Barnstormers, which was the drama club. So that's kind of how I initially got involved and what I loved so much. So that's what I decided to pursue in college and professionally.
Amazing. Yeah. My favorite style of dance is tap too. I mean, it's just kind of fun to make noise with your feet.
Right. Exactly. I like it. I like it so much. Oh.
Yeah. So you said how you grew up in theater and you decided to pursue it, but when did you realize that theater is what you wanted to do as your career?
I think interestingly, I do kind of think there is one specific moment that comes to mind that I think about pretty frequently, actually. Is it was my senior year of college, or not of college, my senior year of high school. And one of my best friends, Katie, she and I were both really involved in the choir program. And I remember having a conversation with her thinking like, I just don't know what I want to do in college. And, you know, I felt like I had these expectations to do some job that was perceived as being impressive or being really difficult or being really academic. But she said, Mary Beth, I think you know what you want to do. You just have to convince yourself. And I remember thinking, well, no, I don't. I don't know what I want to do. I have no clue. And I think she was absolutely right that I knew that I wanted to do theater, and that it's obviously a very risky and not necessarily the most financially stable career choice, but it's also what I love and what I had probably wanted to do for a long time. And she was right. I think I needed to convince myself that that's what I wanted to do. So It was definitely my senior year of high school, which I know a lot of people who are seniors are auditioning, you know, in August, September, October of their senior year. So I was a little bit behind the ball and signed up for some of those auditions, but I still figured it out.
Yeah, it's amazing. I do remember hearing this like one phrase where it's all like, if you are doing what you love, then you're never going to work a day in your life.
Yeah.
And I think like that's with theater too, is that personally, I want to pursue it as a career as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because it's everything that I love to do. And even though it's not the most financially stable, if I, you know, put my heart to it, then it'll get somewhere.
Yeah. I definitely think I've tried to focus on the fact that like I really wanted to do this. So I was going to figure out a way to, you know, have some sort of financial stability. And a lot of actors will have secondary jobs. Like I used to babysit all the time in New York, and that was my way that I could make money and still have a flexible schedule and still go to auditions. And, you know, I've been very fortunate. Like my family is always very supportive and, you know, they always come and see shows and things. So I know if I was ever in a pinch, I'm lucky that I have that support, that I know I have a strong foundation of love and a strong network of friends who everyone's going to, you know, watch out for each other. But it definitely is something that is very challenging for a lot of reasons, but also you're right. Like if it's what you love, then even when you are working at it, you're going to be excited to work on it because I don't know. I like going to rehearsal. I like working on new songs. I like, you know, getting direction, trying it again and doing it a different way. So yeah, even though it is work, it is still something that is very fulfilling.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm really grateful that my family's really supportive too, because my brother does music. He writes his own songs. My sister wants to be a photographer.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And so like, oh, we made this one joke. My mom was all like, where is the science? Where is the math?
That's so funny. I love that though. It's like you guys could do your own, you could be like a whole production company all in one.
Yeah. So moving on, what was the audition process like for the Mean Girls tour?
Long in a word. But I had initially auditioned for the DC tryout of the show, which was a few years ago. And I'd gotten a few callbacks from that, but didn't hear anything. So I, you know, kept going to the next audition, on to the next. And then again, went back in when the show was going to Broadway. And same thing where I had a callback or two, but didn't really get much further than that. And then I guess it was it last spring? It must have been last spring. So, oh, nope, that would be 2 springs ago. So 2 years ago, oh my goodness, time flies. 2 years ago, a few months before the tour was going out, they were having tour auditions. And kind of what I felt like was out of the blue, I'd gotten this, a callback to come in for, I don't remember if it was a vacation swing or a replacement in the show. So I went in and I, had some songs that I was working on and went in and, learned the dance combination again. But again, like didn't hear back from that initially. And then, got a call as I, you know, finished that audition and I'm walking to my babysitting job. And I got a call from the casting director who said, hey, actually, Casey Nicklaw, who's the director and choreographer of the show. He really wants to see you for both Broadway and tour, but can you come in tomorrow and have 2 more songs prepared? So she sent me the 2 songs from the show to prepare. So I got to my babysitting and I said, you know what, you're going to play over here in this room and I'm going to sit here at the piano and learn these 2 songs. So I worked on that and then went in the next day. And again, I felt really good about it, but didn't hear anything after that. So I had done material for Gretchen and I'd done material for Regina. I'd done material for Katie. And so I was kind of all over the place. And then when there was a dance call for the tour, I think a week later. And so I went in for that. And I remember I was kind of standing in the corner of the room because I already knew the choreography. It was the same stuff I had done the week before. So I was, you know, making space for other people to learn it if they didn't know it. And John McGinnis, who's the associate choreographer, he came up to me and he's like, Mary Beth, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm auditioning. You know, I want to really like this show. I want to be in the show. And he goes, oh, we love you. We're going to bring you back. You don't need to be here. So I left the room, and I don't know that I'd ever walked out of an audition before, but I did then because he, you know, seemed to say to me, you know, you don't need to be here. So I was giving other people space, and they call me back, and I think that all came down. I kept thinking like, oh, I'm doing something wrong. They don't like me, or I chose the wrong song, or I wore the wrong thing. When in reality, they really did like me. But there's a girl on the show, Devin, she and I play the same role on Broadway and on tour. And she and I looked so similar that they didn't ever really want to have me in the show if she was also in the show. So that's why tour was perfect for me. He's like, we wanted you to be in the show. It just was, you know, waiting for the right time. So I probably ended up going in 10 or 12 times for auditions, but it ended up, you know, working out. And I kept thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm doing something wrong. They don't like me. They don't like me. And in reality, they loved me and they kept bringing me back, but just was waiting for the right time and the right role. So.
Yeah. Was that stressful having to go in so many times?
What was stressful to me was, learning so much material on such a quick turnaround, but that's, you know, that's a skill that is obviously very helpful as an actor and something that, you know, I'm glad to have honed, I suppose. Yeah, it was just a lot of material. I remember thinking, you know, it was like, at one point it was like 15 pages of whether it was sides or whether it was, you know, learning this song and that song. And there was one point where I went in and I had learned three songs and they only had me sing one. And I was like, oh my goodness. But you never know which one they're going to choose. So you want to make sure that you're prepared. And I suppose you're right. It was a little bit stressful, but in the same way, you know, it's the good kind of stress. It's something I like doing. And it's kind of a fun challenge for myself. Like, all right, can I do this? And how do I remember all of this?
Yeah. So you also did the Beauty and the Beast tour in 2015 or 16. Mm-hmm. So what did you learn from that tour that helped you with the beginning of the Mean Girls tour before, you know, it was kind of like cut off?
Right. Where we went on hold for a minute. I think something that I learned on Beauty and the Beast that has been really helpful for me on Mean Girls was how to take care of yourself physically and mentally when you're on the road. Because we are traveling all the time. So, especially on Beauty and the Beast, we started in the fall of 2015 and went through, it was kind of like a school year calendar for 11 months. And especially on that tour, it was pretty much bus and truck. So we were on a bus very often. You know, we'd wake up at 6 a.m., bus call at 7, and then we'd drive for 8 hours and go do a show. And sometimes we would do that every day for a week. And sometimes I think, oh gosh, were we in LA for 3 weeks? There were a few times where we had like a sit down for 1 or 2 weeks, and that was kind of nice. But you know, being on a bus all day and scrunched up on a bus seat and then needing to go do fan kicks and kick lines and PK turns in a circle is, you know, very disorienting for a body that's been scrunched up. So learning how to fuel my body with the proper foods that'll give it all the vitamins and minerals and the energy that I need to get through the show is super important. Even just learning how to roll out my muscles and what kind of stretches to do. And I did a lot of yoga as kind of a way to restore my muscles and kind of, and both stretch them and also strengthen them. But I definitely learned what my body needs in order to take care of it on tour. And that's different for everyone. But for me, it was making sure that I could kind of find my core and find my stabilization and yeah, that was important to me. And also learning how to get a good night's sleep to refuel yourself for the next day.
Yeah, because so. I think sleep, it's really important just because like it's what keeps you going in the day. And like with other people, I've heard them say that like your sleep can also like change your voice or like how high your leg goes because you need sleep as a stabilization.
Exactly. And that's when your body, you know, does its self-care routine where it goes through and it cleans everything up and it says, okay, we're gonna reset. And so making sure that I get a good night's sleep. For me, honestly, my schedule when I'm doing a show is I'll go to bed super late because I have to have energy at 7 p.m. and then it takes a while for my adrenaline to kind of die down after that. So I'm up super late, but I also sleep in a little late in the morning. But that way I still get my 8, 9, sometimes 10 hours of sleep so that my body can rest and rejuvenate and be ready for the next day.
Yeah. So because you're in the ensemble for Mean Girls, and you also were ensemble in Beauty and the Beast slash understudy for Belle,
Yes.
what is it like having to readjust to each theater? Because when you're in the ensemble, you're moving around more than kind of everyone else. And so
Yeah.
how having to like reblock everything every time?
Well, I'd say for Mean Girls, at least for the theaters we played so far, the stage itself, like the I guess the floor, what the audience would see, that is pretty much always the same. So that always feels like a very grounding place to be. It's more so the backstage on tour that is what changes for us. So for example, like the Connor Palace Theater at Playhouse Square, which is in Cleveland where I grew up, we played there, but the depth of the stage was shorter than what we were used to. So normally our gondolas where we, do our costume changes during the show are behind the set. But because that theater space was a little bit shallower, our gondolas were actually in like dressing rooms off to the side. So it was it I remember, oh my goodness, the first night in Cleveland, we were all like, oh my gosh, are we gonna make our quick changes in time? Am I gonna have to change on the deck? And we all have dressers, so we were trying to coordinate with our dressers, like, okay, we're gonna do this change here, we're gonna do that change here. So it was the backstage traffic that was actually new for us, and we talked through it with our wardrobe department and talked through it with stage management and our company meeting to make sure everyone knew what they were doing before we got to the show. But that's when we really needed to be on our toes to make sure we're paying attention and know where things are, because it's the back, like I said, it's the backstage that changes. So that's where you need to be hyper aware of where everyone is and what's going on. And I remember on Beauty and the Beast, we played a few theaters that were a little bit smaller. So there were times when we'd have, what we call cut shows, where there are certain set pieces or certain props that don't necessarily make it onto the stage. So they're like, all right, we're gonna do, this version of the show. So that's, again, you just have to be super attentive and make sure that you're paying attention to what's happening in the wings, because, at the very least, from a safety standpoint, you want to make sure that you're staying safe.
Yeah, so more so than being on stage because the audience doesn't see what's happening backstage, but backstage is
Exactly.
just kind of like crazy madness.
Yeah. I remember there would be times, especially on Beauty and the Beast, because like I said, there would be times where it was a really quick turnover between venues. And I would always think, like, when I got on stage, like, oh, okay, I can take a breath now. Like, I know what happens when I'm on stage. When I'm backstage, I don't know. I hope I know where I'm going and I know what I'm doing. I know where my dressing room is. But yeah, being on stage in a way is a very grounding place because everything is choreographed, everything is blocked, you know where you're supposed to be, you know where everything's supposed to go. And obviously things happen, but yeah, that was always like a centering place.
Yeah. And then I also think for Beauty and the Beast, there's so much flair because I was seeing some of the photos on your website with you in it. And
Yeah,
then
yeah.
I was all like, wow, that's a lot to tour with.
It really was. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And there were, CO2 cannons for the champagne bottles at the end of Be Our Guest and all these things. And yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But they figured out. I it's yeah.
Yeah, so when you're on the road, and I think it's so crazy now because with the whole pandemic and everything, when you're on the road, how did you stay healthy? Because you're doing stage tours, you're at different theaters, you're in different hotel rooms.
Yeah, like I said, I really try to make sure that like my physical health is good from a sleep standpoint and making sure that my muscles are ready for the show. I also figured out, especially for Mean Girls, what foods do I want to eat before the show, because I need to be able to fuel myself, but I need to also make sure that it's not too heavy of food. I discovered very early on that barbecue before the show was not a good idea. So usually I end up going with something that's like a rice and a protein and some vegetables so that I have, a fuel to use throughout the show. And I have a giant 40-ounce Hydro Flask water bottle that I put some electrolytes in, and I drink the whole thing throughout the show, so that I'm still staying hydrated. Yeah, I think I think it depends on the theater, honestly, how much of a presence there is at the stage door. But even little things like I would always have my own Sharpie so that I'm not necessarily touching something that everyone else is touching. I'm trying to think if there are other little tidbits of things that I would do. I have some lozenges and things. Oh, I took towards the end of, well, not the end, but towards the end of last spring, I suppose, I had gotten into the habit of drinking apple cider vinegar in my tea, which is really helpful for clearing your throat and throat health. Actually the standby English Bernhardt, she's a good friend of mine. And she was obsessed with these apple cider vinegar drinks and I thought they were so gross. And then I started adding it to my tea because I wanted to stay super healthy. And I ended up kind of growing a liking for the taste of it. But I guess it's odd quirks like that, that are kind of fun, but yeah. Combination of a lot of things.
So because you're in the ensemble, you also understudy some of the lead roles.
Yeah.
So what role is your favorite to go on for?
This is such a tough question for me because I really, I'm not just saying this, but I really do enjoy each of the roles that I play and that I've gone on for, I guess for different reasons. Like I love my ensemble role because I feel very familiar with it. Not necessarily comfortable, like I'm complacent in it. Just, I know, okay, this is where I can try out this emotion, or this is where, you know, I just feel like I've done it so many times and I really like being able to explore the show through Caitlin Cawson's eyes in the ensemble. But like the thing that I love about Katie's role is she's on stage for all but maybe 8 minutes of the show. And all those 8 minutes are spent in super quick changes backstage, and everything for her is choreographed. So in a way that's kind of fun because you get on the train at the beginning of the show and you can't get off. Like you have to stay in that world. And I think that's really fun. I love playing the adult women roles because Mrs. George is just so outlandish that I think that's so much fun to be able to play a character that is so much larger than life. And I like playing Gretchen because I think there's definitely a part of me that was very similar to Gretchen growing up. And she also is someone who is a character that's a little bit larger than life and has all of these quirks, and she's very fast and she thinks very quickly and she speaks very quickly and she has all these bits and pieces. And I really enjoy that about her character.
Yeah. Is it fun having to like understudy everything? Cause you just get to, when you do have to go on, you kind of just can be a whole nother character every single time.
Right. Yeah. I've understudied a fair amount, in my career so far. And that's something that I really do enjoy, is being able to kind of switch things up or have to make sure that I'm prepared and on my feet. You know, the first time I went on for any of my understudy roles, it was on for the adult women in Philadelphia. And I got a call that morning at 10 or 11 that I was going on for the matinee that afternoon. So, you know, you have to be prepared at any moment. And I think I enjoy having that, not necessarily that it's pressure, but just knowing that I have that responsibility and that I need to be accountable for it. I think I enjoy that.
Yeah. And how you were saying that you need to be prepared, that's actually leading into my next question, which is,
yeah,
when you do have to go on, how do you prepare for that?
Well, from the beginning, obviously learning everyone's lines is important. But especially, you know, when you're doing the show 100 times in a row, I would be backstage often like thinking, you know, doing my quick change in my ensemble character, but thinking through whatever those other characters' lines are, or, you know, kind of under my breath murmuring like, okay, make sure I know what those cues are, just to kind of keep them in my brain. But we also have understudy rehearsal throughout the run of the show as well. So on days where we only have evening performances, not necessarily the first day in a theater, because they're usually still doing load in and sound check and all of those technical things. But, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday afternoon, we'll have understudy rehearsal for a few hours. So we meet with the stage manager and the dance captain and we go through things. And sometimes they're like, oh, you know, actually, you know, we want to actually get over to this mark and get over to this number, or, oh, you know, this line reading, we're going to give you a little bit of a direction with that. And so they can kind of like, you know, give you a little bit more nuance and rehearsal with that character. So I do like understudy rehearsals because it's fun. You get to see the different people's you know, portrayals of the of those characters, which I think is always fun to kind of switch things up.
Yeah. So kind of moving on from touring and into more recent times. What have you been doing during the pandemic?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
I'm currently back at my parents' house because I didn't have an apartment in New York when I was out on tour because I obviously wasn't there. But I've been sewing a lot, making some masks, which is fun. I've had a sewing machine for like 15 years, so I'm really making the most out of being home and being able to use that for a while. But I read a lot of books. I did a lot of gardening, mostly with my mom, and my youngest sister is still in high school, so she's still at home. So we've been able to spend some time together. But this is the longest I've been home since high school. So just being able to spend some time with family has been nice.
Amazing. And then also because right now with the pandemic, there's a lot of self-tapes happening for auditions.
Yeah.
What is your best advice on how to stand out when you're, performing in your bathroom?
Right. Yeah, I understand. You know, actually, I did do a self-tape recently, and something that really inspired me was the Ratatouille TikTok musical. Did you see that?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And I just remember watching that and thinking, wow, like Titus Burgess is just standing there in, you know, his gray turtleneck shirt against a gray wall. And yet he has created this world and it's so exciting. And Andre de Shields is this incredible person and he's eating a fake bowl of soup. And I'm still 100% with them. So I think their commitment to being in that world, regardless of the setting around them, is was so important and was so evident, I think, in the final product. And so, you know, even when you're on stage, yes, you have set pieces and props and costumes and all these other things around you that are help creating that world. But to some extent, you know, I'm clearly not in North Shore High School in an actual cafeteria. You know, Katie clearly isn't actually in Africa on the safari with lions, but you know, so to some extent, even on stage, you still need to use your imagination and create your own scene around you. But so I think just doing a self-tape, really making sure that you have created that world in which you're supposed to be, whatever that is, like, yeah, now it's all up to you, but that doesn't mean that you can't do it. I mean, we're creative people. Use your imagination and think, okay, I'm going to use this pen, but it's really going to be a quill or, you know, whatever it needs to be. I think really using your imagination to make sure that you've set the scene for yourself, I think then we'll read through the camera, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually talking to my friends about like self-tapes and I was all like, I just imagine it as when like I'm doing a one-woman production of Newsies in my bedroom.
There you go. I mean, how many times did I do that probably growing up? Yeah, I think it's something that used to really stress me out because first of all, it wasn't exactly as common as it obviously is now. And I think I was always so nervous, like, oh, I can't make a mistake. It's going to be on film and it'll be there for forever. And it needs to be perfect. And it was all this pressure I was putting on myself. But when I think about it, really, it's just another opportunity to like try new things out. And you can do a bunch of different takes and decide which one you like best. And so I think in a way, kind of shifting my mindset for being like, oh, it has to be perfect and it has to be all within this perfect little box. And I'm, you know, putting all this pressure on myself, just having a place to explore and there happens to be a camera there. Okay, sure, why not?
Yeah. Well, those are all my general questions, except I do have one more and then I have a Mean Girls Finish the Lyric game.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I hope I get it right. Oh, my gosh. All right.
All right.
I'm excited. What a fun idea.
Yeah, well, my last general question is, what advice would you give to aspiring actors? Oh.
I always love this question because I feel like it's a question I would have asked when I was growing up too. I think something that has been really meaningful to me is realizing how much value there is in being authentic to yourself. I think for a long time, I had approached musical theater with as though it were like a test where I'm like, okay, there is a right answer and I need to study for it and I need to know the answer and I need to get it right. And, you know, what dress should I wear and what song should I sing and should I sing this bar cut or this bar cut or, you know, oh, did I put on the right makeup, or is my leotard the right color? All of these things that felt like I had to check all these perfect boxes in order to be cast in something. When in reality, I got to a point where I was like, you know what? I'm going to bring myself into the room, and this is the clothes that I'm wearing today. And it's okay if it's jeans, or, you know, maybe my bot ma isn't as high as I want it to be today, but I'm really going to nail these tap sounds, and because that's where I feel confident, or just really focusing on who I am and expressing myself to those people, or be like, you know what, I'm between these two songs, but I clearly love this song way more than this one, so this is the one I'm going to sing because I like it. Or, you know what, I don't like that song today, I'm going to sing this one. And I think really being in tune and confident about who you are and what your interests are and what you bring to the table is so important. And I really think, hopefully, that's where we're headed as an industry as well, as really valuing people as individuals. So, I think that's something that has really been prominent for me recently. And I think something that is worthwhile advice.
Amazing. Yeah, that's amazing advice. So if you're ready, we can start the game.
All right, let's do it. This is fun. Game time.
So the way it's going to work is I'm going to say lyrics from the show, and then you can finish it.
All right, let's see. Oh, this is such a good test.
it's like a refresher from what you were doing nine months ago.
This is my brush up rehearsal. All right.
Okay. When I was 5, blank, blank, blank.
I fell in love.
Got it. a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do.
I did it for me, sure, but really for you.
Amazing. Yes. I love how you're like adding the facials too when you're doing it.
You can't see that on the podcast, but don't worry.
Yeah. They're there. Hey, Katie, how you like me now?
I want to watch the world burn.
Yep. I've got the gasoline. I want to watch the world burn, but I'll take that.
Hey Katie, how do you like me now? Oh yeah, you're right. Oh, and I love the way, it's so interesting too. I'm going on a little tangent, but I love that now when it's all held out. Oh, it's so powerful. And the fax machine is going across the copier. Oh, that's a cool moment.
Yeah. And like the, in the background for like the set, it's just like black.
Right. That's such a powerful note to that moment. Okay, next one.
Okay, here's my secret strategy. It always works because.
The world doesn't end, it just feels like it does.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. All of a sudden I was like, is it seems or is it feels?
Okay, you shine as bright as day.
Shine as bright as day. I will look out for you. We'll light each other's way.
Yeah. Okay.
In the very wrong key. Don't let the music
guy be amazing. Regina George eats steak.
Oh my gosh. What comes after that? Oh no. I don't remember.
If you want, it's from Apex Predator, if that helps.
No, I'm like thinking through what the choreography is. And I think because the ensemble girls are dancing in that moment, Katie's also singing with Janice, but now I can't think of what Janice's next line is. What is it?
It's, she's a lioness and I'm in her pride. It's Katie's line.
Oh no! Clearly, I need to brush up before we go back into rehearsals.
Okay. Whoops. X is greater than the value of.
X is greater than the value of. No. X is greater than the value of Y.
Yep. There you go. Yep.
It's Y. Is that one of the mathletes?
Yeah. It's in the competition.
That's so funny. I think maybe that's for Nell's. No, whose line is that? I don't know. I'll have to look it up. That's funny. We always, there's a certain point backstage where we would always joke about the way that, you know, saying those lines, it's like, it's all, you know, can I do it all in one, as one person? I feel like it would actually be harder to do it, you know, just like one or two lines here and there. I don't know how they learn that, but anyway.
So the next one might be the hardest yet the easiest because it's only two words, but it's the limits.
The limit does not exist.
Yeah. I thought you would cave.
I thought you would cave. But you stood up to her.
Yep. if I could change the world.
Chose that line because I'm thinking of a Katie Curtis song, which is absolutely not for me. If I could change the world. I literally keep saying, if I could change the world, I'd change the world within my reach. That's not for Mean Girls. What is it?
Do you want the song or just like the name of the song?
What's the song?
It's Sexy.
Oh, of course, if I could change the world, I'd make it Halloween every single day. What a dip that I couldn't remember that.
Okay, so this one is also two words. It's R, which is really, I think this one's the hardest out of all of them because that's said so many times in the show. But there is one song where it repeats itself.
I feel you. I believe you. What's frightening is I probably could have gotten all of these back in March. I need to say that. It's not fear. What song is it from?
It's from, oh, well, I mean, it's our house.
It's from a few of them, probably. Oh!
It's the name of the song.
I'm going to have to study all of these. How did I not think of that? It's our house now. Oh, Lord. That's like the entire lyrics of the song.
Yeah. It's that straightforward.
Oh, no. Is that it? Are there others?
This is the last one.
Oh, my gosh. Please get this, Mary Beth. Please. Okay.
I'm sorry, I just totally lost my words. I'm so sorry. It's like
no, that's okay. That's okay. Pull it back up.
Okay. So it's we call those three.
We call those three the plastics. They're shiny, fake, and hard.
I have one more if you want to do one more because I
did. Yeah, sure. Bonus question.
Okay. Baby girl, don't eat lunch on the.
Oh, okay. This is from, oh, Damien sings this. Yes?
Yeah, it's Damien.
Oh my, I'm like envisioning him saying this as the bathroom's going away. Where do you belong? What's the line? Oh no.
It's kind of hard because it's just like the one word after it.
I don't know. What is it?
It's baby girl, don't eat lunch on the John. Oh, that's right. Yeah, and then Janice goes, your mom called you baby girl.
You're right. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, girl, yeah. I mean, I remember as soon as you say all of these lines, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's what this is. I'm sitting backstage on a table waiting to come out. That's such a fun game. Oh, that's so hard, too, without music or without, like, singing the line first, you know?
Yeah. Well, that was all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm sorry I was not 100% on my Mean Girls lyrics test. Oh, no.
I mean, you kind of had the last 9 months to have them disappear, so it's fine.
That's true. That's true. And for a while, I was like, yeah, I'm going to take a break from listening to Mean Girls every day.
Yeah, I was so sad when they announced their closing on Broadway the other day.
I know. And hopefully there will be some new shows that come in, and then that gives everyone opportunities to be in a new production.
Yeah.
And that would be awesome, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll still be out on tour. I'm excited.
Yeah,
whenever we do return, it'll be a blast.
I'm super excited for them to come because I'm in San Jose, so I'm excited for them to come to like San Francisco.
Yes. Oh my goodness, San Jose is awesome. I've been there before.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. This has been
Yeah.
wonderful. I think it's awesome that you're 12 years old and you have your own podcast. Like, how cool is that?
Thank you.
That's so impressive.
Well, I'm gonna let you get going. Have a fabulous day, and
All right, thanks, you
hopefully,
too.
when tour comes back, I'll get to see you in
Yeah, let me know if you're coming to the show and then I'll absolutely say hi.
it. Well, thank you again.
You're so welcome. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Theater Talk. Mary Beth was super, super kind. And when Mean Girls goes back on tour, buy tickets and you can see her in the ensemble, or maybe she'll be on for a lead. But with that being said, stay safe, stay healthy, wear your masks, and I'll see you guys all next week. Bye!